The three lies that we've been told about money, or specifically credit, not just money, but credit. Credit is probably one of the most important tools that we have, but it's also one of the most misused tools in our community. We are on a mission to transform the 400 million people all throughout Latin America. We started Latino Wall Street a little over 4 years ago now. And when we started the company, we knew that there was a problem. The analogy that I like to give is, imagine if Tony Robbins, or imagine if Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or any of these people that we look up to, imagine if they only spoke Chinese. So all their books, all the information, all their videos, all their podcasts, all their interviews, everything that they put out into the world was basically in Chinese. And that's a problem that we have for the 400 million people all throughout Latin America, right? There's all this information, there's this access to information, but then there's a barrier. And then even in the United States, there's a barrier, right? If you grow up in the traditional school system, they're not teaching coding, they're not teaching marketing, they're not teaching business, they're not teaching finance. These things are just really not being taught. They teach you how to go to school, get into a bunch of student debt, take out $100,000 in student debt, but they don't teach you to take a $100,000 loan and go start a business, right? They were to give the average high school student education on the stock market, education on finance, education on investing. And then instead of putting them $100,000 into debt, they were able to give them that debt and let them invest it into the S&P 500, for example. They will be able to create so much wealth in their communities, but they're not. The conveyor belt that they have us on is this conveyor belt towards being in debt, being in bad debt. We're going to get into that, good debt versus bad debt. But there's a difference between good debt and bad debt. There's a difference between the right education and the wrong education. And our mission is to bring this information to the masses. So I want to tell you guys a real quick story. When I was in fifth grade, I had a teacher, a fifth grade math teacher, and he decided to flip up the curriculum. So instead of teaching the normal math the way that it was always been taught, he decided that he wanted to teach the stock market. And he was encouraging us to invest in Amazon when it was 50 cents a share. Now, if you look up Amazon right now, it's like thousands of dollars per share, right? And plus there were many stock splits since then, which basically means if you had one share back then, you would have multiple shares now. But I tell you that to tell you, in the 90s, in the late 90s, during the dot-com boom, we had a teacher who was a disruptor. That wasn't on the curriculum. That wasn't what he was told to teach everyone. But he took it upon himself to teach all the kids in our class, out of 30 kids, how to invest into the stock market. Now, did all 30 kids take action? No, they didn't. There was me. And there was one other kid named Steven Naranjo who actually took action. Steven Naranjo went on to work on Wall Street. And so out of 30 kids in the class, there were only two that actually took action. But that teacher, my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Athens, he decided to go off the script. He decided, I'm not going to teach what's in the school books. I'm not going to teach what's in the textbooks. I'm actually going to disrupt, and I'm going to teach something different and something new and something innovative. And then he was able to change the trajectory of two kids' lives in that class. And I don't have the statistics from every single other class. There are probably a lot of other kids, but I say that to say this. It wasn't all 30 kids that took action, right? It was one or two kids that took action. They call the 1%, they call the richest people in the world the 1% for a reason, because it's not everybody. 99% of people right now, they're watching the Kardashians, they're watching Netflix, they're on TikTok. They didn't take the time out of their day to come and jump onto a Zoom and come learn about finance, learn about credit, learn about investing in themselves, right? Most people are going to do what most people do. And so when you're looking at yourself and you're comparing yourself to your peers and the people that you went to high school with, people that you went to kindergarten with, and you're looking, you're like, wait, am I the crazy one? Am I the only one? Because everyone else is on TikTok. Everyone else is going out to the nightclub. Everyone else is doing X, Y, and Z, right? If you want to be in the 1%, you actually have to act like the 1%, which means that you actually have to be different, right? So that's why communities like this, like Latino Wall Street, like Disrupt, Recession Proof, we're bringing people together, and we are the disruptors. We're the weird ones, right? We're the weird ones that actually have the balls to say, listen, I'm not going to just accept the path that I was given. It's okay to work a 9-to-5 job, right? I worked tons of 9-to-5 jobs. So one of the first and worst 9-to-5 jobs that I ever worked, I worked at McDonald's. I was 15 years old. I lied on the job application. I said I was 16. And I worked a summer job and I just saved all the money that I could. And I knew at that moment that number one, I knew that trading my time for money, while it was a great way to save a little bit of money at that young age, I knew that I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And then the other breakthrough that I had was, okay, at that time I was getting paid $5 an hour. So I could figure out a strategy where I'm not trading my time for money, or where at least I'm making more than $5 in an hour, even if I'm selling lemonade on the side of the road, right? Whatever I'm doing, if I can make more than $5 an hour, then I'm ahead of the game, right? As I got a little bit older, I started researching, how much do the teachers make? Okay, the teachers make $30,000 a year, right? And I started doing that mathematics. I'm like, okay, that's about $3,000 a year, right? So how many of X, Y, and Z thing do I need to sell to make that same amount of money? And then as I got a little bit older, I started doing the mathematics. Okay, I want to make $1 million in a year. How does that work? Okay, if I make $3,000 per day and I times that by 365 days in a year, then boom, I have the mathematics. I have the secret formula to make $1 million in a year. And then every single time that I went into a financial situation, always look at it from that point of view, and I will break it down mathematically. And so I've used that to start numerous businesses. So people don't know me. My name's Tony Delgado. I sold my first company probably 10 years ago. And I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've started software companies. I've started information companies, media companies. And I have thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of clients all around the world. And I've worked with really big, like Fortune 500 companies. So I've worked with the Pfizer and the Marvel Comics and the Whole Foods and the LG Electronics. But then I've also worked with tons of entrepreneurs and like small companies and people you've never heard of, or people who maybe no one ever heard of them until I started working with them. And then they went to go and blow up and create big companies and do big things. But I say that to say the things that I'm most proud of, it's not really working in corporate, even though I learned a lot. But the thing that I'm most proud of is working with individuals just like you and helping them get to the next level. Okay, so I want to jump into the three secrets of credit. So secret number one is that debt is bad, right? So we're taught in school, we're taught that debt is bad, that debt is the worst thing in the world. But if you look at the top companies, look at Apple, look at Coca-Cola, right? These companies have some amounts of debt. Their debt outweighs their cash flow in a lot of situations. And how are they able to do that? Because not all debt is created equal, but debt is not bad. Debt is the key to building wealth. If we look at Grant Cardone, right? We had Elena Cardone come to our last event, right? And Grant came and spoke the year before virtually, right? And he was talking about how he built this multi-billion dollar real estate empire. He did that by leveraging debt, right? So debt is not bad, but it's just all debt is not created equal, right? The first thing that I learned when I got out of college, right? I got out of college, they gave me all these credit cards, right? So they're like, hey, you're here freshman year. They gave me all these different credit cards, right? And I was like, oh my God, great, I'm rich. So I took all these different credit cards and I started buying clothing, all the clothing that I ever wanted, right? I bought the leather jacket, the bomber jacket. I bought sneakers, I bought alcohol and food and all these things. And none of the things that I used the debt for made me any money. I had really no return on my investment, right? And I just kept buying things and accumulating more and more debt. And then I had the loser mentality that long as I could pay the minimum balance on the card, then I was good. So if they gave me a $10,000 limit, and the minimum balance was like $300 a month, and great, as long as I pay that $300, then I'm good. And what that did is that basically made me go bankrupt by the time I was 21, right? By the time I was 21, they gave me the credit cards when I was 18. I had my first credit card. No, matter of fact, I had my first credit card when I was 17. And it was a secure card. My mom had to sign for it. And I built for 1 year while I was still living at my mom's house. I built really good credit. And then as soon as I was out on my own, I went crazy, right? And I ended up basically going bankrupt before I turned 21. And when that happened, I came to the realization that I was investing, I was using my debt in a bad way. I was having bad debt, right? I was using that debt to not make more money, but I was using that debt to put myself in more debt and basically buy material things that had no return on my investment. Then I started selling things on eBay and Amazon. I've talked about this a lot. And then I started using the debt not to invest into things that cost me money. I started using the debt for things that were going to make me money, right? So that's secret one. Not all debt is bad. So secret number two is that there's a difference between good debt and bad debt, right? And so what are some examples of good debt? Good debt is using the power of credit to invest into assets, right? So real estate is a great way to invest using credit. Another one would be getting a business loan. Another one could be Facebook ads or other forms of marketing and advertising for your business, right? So these are all great ways of using debt, right? And another thing that I think people don't realize is that by leveraging debt and by leveraging basically running your business through the power of credit, right? Not only do you unlock the ability to grow faster, right? Grant Cardone admittedly would not have been able to grow his real estate empire as quickly as he's been able to go from getting started, being almost similar story to Mike, right? Homeless, hooked on drugs, like really bad upbringing to now becoming from a millionaire and now a multi-billionaire. I think they have $5 or $6 billion of real estate under management. They wouldn't have been able to do that if they didn't have the power of good debt. Right. So there's a big difference between good debt and bad debt. Every time that you're getting into debt, you want to think about which is it? Is this going to make me more money? Am I planting a seed that's going to bring me more money in the future? Or am I literally just like burning the house down to the ground? So there's a big difference between good debt and bad debt. And one of the things that people don't realize is when you're running your business, there are two key superpowers that running your business using credit will give you versus just using cash. So number one is purchase protection, right? So when you buy something with a debit card or you buy something with cash, a wire transfer or whatever, that's a one-way transaction. And essentially, once the money is spent, if the person doesn't deliver on the product or service, or if there's something wrong with the product or service, right? You have no recourse. You have no way to try to get your money back besides just begging them or calling the cops, trying to sue them, right? But it's a one-way transaction. With credit cards, especially the better credit cards, you have purchase protection. So if it turns out that something doesn't work out, right, there's a recourse. There's a way to identify who the merchant is and potentially get your money back through that process, right? The second thing, which is one of my favorite things, is the accumulation of points and rewards. Now, you want to be careful with this, right? You never want to be using credit cards to buy things that you wouldn't pay cash for. So some people, they get stuck in the points game and they're like, oh, I'm going to get points. But if you end up paying fees and interest and all of these things, and you're not spending it on the right things, then yeah, that's not a good way to just earn points for the sake of earning points. But if you learn the credit game, you can actually travel the world for free just using points. I'm going out to Mike to see Mike in Texas. There's a big convention for his company that I'm going to go and be a part of. And I'm doing that with points, right? I didn't have to. I could have paid cash if I wanted to, but I didn't have to. Since I run all my business expenses through my credit cards, I've accumulated over 1 million points. And these points I can use to buy hotels, buy first class flights, to go out to eat. Like literally anything that you could spend a credit card on, I can redeem my points for those things. And it also gives me upgrades at all the travel experiences, right? So when I go first class, I'm able to upgrade to first class on airplanes, right? Use that with points. I'm able to get, depending on what credit cards, right? Like I have the American Express Platinum, I have the Marriott Black Card. I have certain credit cards that when I go to any Marriott in the world, they're going to upgrade me to a suite just because of the credit card that I have. The airports have VIP lounges where you can work and get free food. And they have it's literally like a different world. Once you start opening up to the power of credit, it's literally like a different world. And it's a world that probably most people don't even know exists. But like when I go to a, an airport, I don't sleep on the floor like a lot of the people that you see, or they're sitting in those really uncomfortable chairs. I go to the American Express or one of the other VIP lounges, right? There's full catering, right? Better than the food that you could pay for. We're actually getting that food for free just based on our credit score and our credit report, right? And there's these lounges all around the world. I've been to these lounges in Peru, in Mexico, in Colombia, in Miami, like pretty much Puerto Rico, every single major airport in the world. There's these VIP lounges, but they're only for the holders of these certain credit cards. So there's just all these different things that have been unlocked thanks to the power of credit. There's certain resorts that we go to, they upgrade us, they give us free breakfast, they give us $100 to spend at the spa. There's just all these crazy upgrades that you can stay until 4 o'clock and check out, right? There's all these crazy upgrades that you get just based on the credit cards that you have. The same thing happens when you walk into a bank, right? When you walk into a bank and you go to apply for a business loan, when you walk to a car dealership and you go to get a car, right? The type of car they're going to allow you to walk off the lot and drive has a lot more to do with your credit score than it has to do with how much money you have in the bank, right? And that's why there's a lot of people that they go out and they have to buy their entire car in cash, right? Because their credit score is not that good. But if you look at rich people, wealthy people, they're not buying cash. They're not buying these things with cash. They're using the bank's money. The bank is giving them money to buy the cars, the houses, and all of these things, right? Where the average person probably could afford the monthly payment on that house, right? But since they don't have the right credit score, they're stuck renting, and they're stuck renting for the rest of their life. So the person with the good credit is building equity in their home, right? They're building wealth. They're going to eventually be able to sell that later down the line, right? And the person with bad credit is going to be stuck renting, stuck giving their money to the landlord, and they're going to wake up in 30 years and they're not going to have anything to show for it. So there's a big difference between good debt and bad debt. The last thing, and then I know we're running a little low on time, Mike, but the last secret, number three, that I want to touch on is the biggest mistake that I see people making when they first start a business. And we're going to be talking a little bit. Mike is going to get into how you can start a business in the financial industry. But one of the biggest problems that I see when people start businesses is they put all of their business expenses on their personal credit card. And I'm guilty of this too. When I first started my business, I had a bunch of credit cards. So thankfully I had really good credit when I started my business. And thanks to that, I had $50,000 in credit that I could just use. And I didn't have to go and get a loan and get it approved. Just on my personal credit cards, I had a lot of credit. But the mistake that I made was initially I had put all my business expenses on my personal credit cards. And the secret that a lot of people don't know is the more money that you put on your credit card in relationship to how much credit you have available, that can really hurt your credit, right? So if you have $50,000 in available credit and you have $49,000 of it spent, the credit cards and the banks are going to get really worried. They're going to say, oh my God, what's going on? Tony's going crazy. He's lost his mind and he is just spending too much, right? And so the banks are going to get really worried when they see that. But that only applies to personal credit. When you have business lines of credit and business credit cards, they usually will not report to your personal credit score, which means if you're operating a business, it's very common for a business to have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of bills, of credit card bills every month. Right? For example, in our business, we put a lot of things on our credit cards every month, but then we pay the entire balance off, right? We don't pay interest or fees. Every single month, we get the bill, we look at it, and we pay it all the way off. But the banks don't see that, right? If you're putting the charges on your personal cards, all it looks like you went on a shopping spree. It looks like, oh my God, there's all this debt, and it's personal debt, which means it's consumer debt that's not good, right? So one of the biggest hacks is to open up a business bank account, a business line of credit, and have all those expenses there. And it's almost like hidden debt. It's debt that is on your business report, but it doesn't report to your personal score. And when you go to open a business account, they're always going to look at your personal score. So it gives you the superpower of actually having a place where this debt can exist, that it doesn't negatively affect you and your account. Yeah, Mike, I don't know if you want to add anything, but those were like the three key things, the three key lies that I know that people are misconceived out there about debt and credit and these tools. But honestly, these tools are incredible. The whole event that we did in Miami, that's all on my American Express card. It's crazy the amount of money that we're able to spend, right? We put it all on a credit card and then in 30 days we get the bill. And for me, that's the most responsible way to use these financial instruments is as a 30-day free loan, right? As long as you pay off your cards in 30 days, it is a free loan from the bank, right? Another interesting tool that we leverage and that we have the power, the ability to leverage is the financial instruments that the banks give you. So the banks actually have a way of doubling your money and doubling and sometimes more with leverage. So we do this a little bit in the stock market, right? I can deposit $10,000 into a stock trading account or into a bank account, and then I can buy more than that in stock. So that's a secured line of credit based on the stock market. You can do the same thing on secured credit cards, right? And that's one of the products that Mike's company offers for people that are trying to build their credit. But let's say you have no credit, right? 50% of people actually don't know what their credit score is in America. 50% of people are so out of touch that they have no idea. They're just scared. They don't want to check. They don't want to think about it. So more than 50% of Americans don't know what their credit score is. You guys can let me know in the chat, what is your credit score? Who here knows what their credit score is? Put it in the chat. I'll start. I just checked mine recently and it was 770. And so the way the credit score works, I think on the low end, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about 400. That's like really bad. And then on the high end, it's 850. And so anything really above a 7 to 750 is considered good. Anything below that, you're doing better, but you're still not good. If you're above 600, you're like, okay, you can usually get approved for something. But you really want to be above 700. And the goal is always that 800, kind of that perfect score, that perfect credit score. Mike, I don't know if you want to add anything there about the scores and how they work.
No, beautiful. I just want to chime in real quick. I want to give some actual secrets to some myths, I think, about the credit when it comes to credit. But more importantly, what Tony was talking about, the debt. I know if you're coming from a different country, your mindset of debt is registered differently. Debt is no. When we see the credit cards, they say cut them off because they're devil. When you see them, burn them. So if your debt is earning you some money in return, then it's a good debt, right? If I buy this vase and I rent this out to someone to put flour in it or for somebody to put water so they can drink, then yes, now this is getting me some money. So if you're living in your house, like Tony was saying, you're just enjoying playing video games all day. You're paying that rent by yourself, that mortgage by yourself. It's not building you anything. Yes, you're building equity. But if you take that same house, you rent one room, for example, that is a great debt. Somebody else is paying your debt for you. So you want to be able to understand the two and make sure that you can differentiate. So in your mindset, you got to ask yourself, am I spending money on this debt or am I earning money on this debt? So if I have my credit card, so this is, for example, this is a business, it's a fuel man. This is pretty much a business line, but this is only for gas, right? So if you fill your vehicles, you're putting gas into your vehicle. So the vehicle is actually to get you to have some type of revenue for your business. But if I'm just spending this, we were going to the club, we're going to go have fun, let's just put gas into the car. So money's leaving my pocket. So you got to ask yourself, is money leaving my pocket if I buy this? And when I buy this, is money coming into my pocket? So just break it down for you guys.